Bonjour Priscilla, Kongo Oveya, good afternoon Priscilla.
Good afternoon Firouz.
Thank you. So you are from Congo?
Yes.
And we're going
Iran. Congo and Iran.
Yes, and Iran. We're going to do the interview in English. You feel more confident. You are here in the open section, open door section in Locarno Film Festival. It's dedicated to African continent. How do you feel to be here in this section? What about the meetings you've got? You've got a very, very heavy schedule. Did you meet a lot of people?
I feel incredibly privileged to be at Locarno Open Doors. I've met a lot of interesting industry players, filmmakers, producers, distributors, but also just being in community with other African filmmakers from the continent and being in conversation with them is the best film school ever. So it's been incredible.
It's very inspiring for creation, I guess.
It's very inspiring for creation, and it's also very informative. Like, I'm learning a lot from everyone, how they do it in their context, in their country, the challenges they face, how they overcome the challenges, what lessons they learn from them. Like, it's extremely rich.
Could you tell us about the film that was presented here? The theater was completely sold out, no place left. How did you feel about that?
I did not know that it was sold out.
Yes.
Mashallah.
Mashallah, mashallah.
I'm very excited and terrified and honored. And it's just a beautiful space. And again, I think it's a privileged space just to be here in these times with all that's happening in the world. I feel extremely privileged to be able to think about films and to have people from different walks of life come and see our work. Mm. And be in conversation with them. No, it's incredible.
And a place dedicated to exchanges,
yes.
Talking, meetings.
Yes, yes. Exchanges, talking, and everything is done with so much intention from the team, the Open Door team. Shout out to the Locarno Open Door team, because the love...
Applause.
The love that they're putting is felt.
But there's a love from the audience here.
There's a love from the audience that I cannot wait to meet when they come also to our screening. The love of film is felt. The love of film and stories is felt. And it's like a big warm hug.
And I don't know if you felt it, but the audience here is very posh, very close to the filmmakers.
Yes, yes, I've noticed that.
Different from the other film
festivals. I've noticed that. And it's a very... it's a very involved audience, like everywhere. It's like, hey, so many people, so many people. It's like the bazaar, so many people coming to watch a movie.
El souk.
It's the bazaar. We say in Iran, bazaar.
Bazaar.
It's so many people. It's really impressive. It's impressive. It's a privilege. I mean, just the city, it's just like, I feel like I'm walking in a book.
Priscilla, you've got two cultures. Iranian, Congo. Could you tell us about this amazing mixture of cultures and influences, I guess?
Yes, lots of influences. Definitely Iranian cinema influence, but also Bollywood, because I grew up in Iran during the 90s, and I watched when Bollywood was 4 hours long, sometimes even five.
Good soundtrack.
With the best dance routines. But also, you know, the Pahoni, the Kiarostami, the classic Iranian cinema that I'm still like always rediscovering with a new eye, and also African cinema from Senegal to Burkina Faso to Kenya and, you know, Congo. It's just a really rich heritage really, and I feel that I carry I come after people before me, you know. It's a lot of women before me in Iran and in Congo who have allowed for me to even be able to be where I am right now. So, yeah, actually, I speak thanks to them and because of these women, my ancestors before me on both sides.
Thank you for paying the tribute to these women and sisters. Could you tell us about both countries, the situation, and especially the women's situation?
Political. Well, both countries, Iran, I believe, just like Congo Brazzaville, but in very different ways. Iran and Congo are just not known, misunderstood, misrepresented, underrepresented.
Or in the wrong way?
Yeah, or not. The story, the narratives are never complete. It's always pieces and bits and pieces of the narrative. Women in Iran and women in Congo are some of the strongest women in the world, most courageous women in the world. Again, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the women who came before me, my grandmother, and all of them before her, my mother who's still around, and who, because of my Iranian mother and all her acts of bravery, let me say bravery.
Mm-hmm. Bravour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here giving you an interview. Mm-hmm.
So you pay a tribute to them.
Yeah, I pay a tribute to her.
To what they did.
To what they did, fight, to what they do. To their radical honesty. Mm-hmm. And we're not done. Congolese women, Iranian women, we're not done. This is just the beginning of a lot of undoing.
Although the political situation or the religion try to shout down what they want to say.
Yes, absolutely. But it won't get shut down. You can't silence. Good. You may silence one person. Yeah. You may silence two people. Try silencing all of us. Try silencing all of us. It won't work.
And could you tell us about the movie that was presented here?
So I'm presenting Where My Memory Began, which is a short, lyrical, dark ode to a tree, a 400-year-old tree, a cotton tree in Freetown, capital city of Sierra Leone in West Africa. And it's a tree that fell in 2023 after standing there for 400 years and being a part of the foundation of Freedom City, which is now Freetown. And an elder, Elder Balu, goes back to what's left of the tree. And she tries to remember who we were, who we should have been, and who we will definitely be. So Where My Memory Began is really a lyrical exploration using archives, using memories.
And ancestry.
Centering memories, yes, grounded in ancestry, to celebrate who we are. The approach is a story for us and by us, for the whole world. To hear and hopefully to also feel and be moved. It celebrates our beauty, our shared histories and ancestry, all around this gigantic, majestic tree that even though it fell, is still standing tall.
And you question the heresy as well.
Hmm?
The legacy of
the legacy
of our ancestors.
Yes, it is about the legacy of our ancestors, those who were there. It's the legacy, ancestry for me is present in all the work that I do. I'm just very conscious and cognizant of how much women before me have done so that I could be here.
Priscilla, how was it to film in Sierra Leone?
It was beautiful and
a lifetime
experience. I mean, we need more stories. From Sierra Leone, from Congo, from Iran, from different people.
Guinea-Conakry.
From Guinea-Conakry, from Guinea-Bissau, from many places. There's not enough stories coming from Sierra Leone. So filming in Sierra Leone was beautiful and magical and also quite challenging, but we overcame. We overcome all the challenges, and this is why the film now is here.
Mashallah. And was it difficult to raise the money to make your film?
Yes, the money is always difficult. It was very difficult. I mean, we wouldn't have been able to do this film without the production House of Salon, without friends and people who believed in this project. We wouldn't have been able to make a film about a tree. It's a short, but it is about a tree. And how many people can understand how important it is to still make this kind of stories? So we did it now, and now people are seeing the importance of it. But it was difficult to produce. It was difficult to make. But I think important and beautiful stories are usually difficult to bring.
But talking about trees, people know, talking about Africa, that baobabs are very important.
Baobabs are important.
Arbre à palabre.
Oui, absolument. And this is a cotton tree. It's yeah. also very important. I mean, yeah, we couldn't live without trees, even though, you know, and it's a tree that saw everything. It's 400 years old. It saw more than any of us saw and will ever
like
see.
Like the oak in Europe
yes.
countries or in Middle
yes.
East.
Yes, exactly.
They can live 2,000, exactly. 300 years.
Exactly. And the tree is still alive. Huh? Mm-hmm. Their leaves now growing.
And they've seen wars,
they've
peace.
Seen everything. They've seen all our humanity or the lack thereof. They've seen it all. So, yeah.
Talking about baobabs, you were talking about ancestors. We saw the old people at the end of the day going under the baobabs to talk, to tell stories, mm-hmm. to make a resume of the day.
Mm-hmm. And also, in ancient African societies, important decisions were taken under large tree, like baobab trees.
Mm-hmm.
Elders would gather and not only share stories, but also make political decisions, leadership decisions about their society and their communities. Like the indigenous way of life, you know, really just blended with the environment instead of the Western way of life that wants to fit urban and make nature fit its needs. So, yeah, it plays a really big space and role in societies across the continent.
Keeping the integrity, authenticity of the community alive and keeping the solidarity between people?
Yes, absolutely. It's exactly that. I couldn't have said it better.
So I'm having my graduation, I think. So you have to write after.
You're funny, beautiful.
Talking about having contacts, I guess you did meet a lot of people here. Did you have any contacts for your next work?
Yeah, I think there's going to be... Yeah, I think there's been nice synergies, and I can see opportunities of collaborations and also just opportunities of learning for me.
Having your movies shown in
yes,
other places.
Having movies shown in other places, collaborating on future projects together.
Mm-hmm.
And just being aware of like opportunities that I didn't even know existed. So it's been a school. Huh? This is a school.
But a great school with in a nice place with lots of trees.
Yes, and I don't have to pay for it.
and nice trees.
Yes, and nice mountains.
Yeah, and the lake. Priscilla, we are in Locarno, but are you already working on something, writing?
Yes, I'm writing. I just finished writing a story about a little girl, 10-year-old black Iranian girl whose family migrated to South Africa. And who has a toothache as she's getting ready for her ballet performance. And as she's trying to get the attention of her parents about her aching tooth, but her parents were too absorbed by the news of war in Iran. So, yeah, I've been writing.
Congratulations, mashallah, mashallah. You are now still studying as a doctorate student in Cape Town?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Could you tell us about the training, all the, what you did before?
Before film, I was a practicing human rights lawyer. My focus was, should I go there? My focus was negotiating with warlords to remove children in their ranks, commonly known as child soldiers. That was my work for 8 years. And until I lost, not that I ever really had a lot of faith in the systems, but whatever little faith as was, I had completely lost it after the 8 years in the systems, and I decided to dedicate my time to storytelling.
While you're talking, Priscilla, Amina is working for me.
Amina.
So I'm working for you, but she's working
Amina.
For me. Ah, mashallah, mashallah.
Hey. On y va là.
Quand on est entouré de talents, on est interrompu. Voilà. Et c'est les journalistes qui doivent être humbles. Priscilla, coming back to your work, could you tell us about your doctorate you're studying and preparing?
Sure, so I'm with the African Feminist Studies Department and Fine Arts.
Gender studies?
Now it's African Feminist Studies.
Different. Yeah,
very different, because it's a critical look into society that goes beyond simple gender, but rather experiences and points of view. My focus is on racial blackness in Iran, from the perspective of black Iranian women. Yeah, that's basically what my focus is.
And talking about black Iranian women, could you tell us about the way the society, Iranian society, look about black Iranian people? Because you created... Yeah,
the collective for black Iranians.
Yes, exactly. So I wanted you to talk about
you're a journalist, so it's really impressive. You know everything.
I have to win my dedicas for my daughter.
You know everything. SubhanAllah, what else do you know? I'm scared.
No, you don't have to be scared. I like to study, to keep studying, to keep reading.
You know, the gaze on the black Iranian women or Iranian women of African descent, it depends. I think it starts from a place of not knowing a lot. I think a lot for a long time, at least, Iranian society was not aware of the existence of an African community in Iran of African descent. But but it's changing. It's changing. I think there is greater acknowledgement and there is more conversations, which is why I started
acceptance.
More acceptance, because which is why I started the Collective for Black Iranians, was to create conversations that goes beyond the Persian narrative or the Shia narrative, and that just goes beyond. This is about us, who we are, diversity of it, diversity of points of view, dialogue, just conversations, you know, just being able to share, to learn from
and
one another,
to create together,
yes.
I was asking you because, you know, for instance, in North Africa, Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, there's a lot of racism still. And in the Middle East, they were as well racist to black people. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering whether it's changing, maybe through the networks. So.
Yeah, I definitely think it's changing. There is still a lot of anti-blackness in the region, in the Middle East or Swana, in Iran as well. I've never been anywhere in the world where I did not experience anti-blackness. If anybody knows where, then I'm happy to go move there, maybe Mars. But but there is already Elon Musk there, so I don't want to go there. So maybe Venus. Let's pick Venus. But it's too slow, but it's changing, but it's too slow. We're very late. I think we have to be more bold as Middle Easterners and just not be afraid of having the conversations and stop comparing ourselves all the time to America and Europe or saying that, oh, you say you're black, you think we're in America. No, I don't. I know we're not. This is Iran. But there's still black people in Iran.
And what about South Africa?
South Africa, too, is a very complex place, as you know, Firuz.
But
what they're really good about, I believe, especially I think with the black community in South Africa, black folks, South Africans, is that they have conversations, they push for dialogue, they tell stories, they make films, they write books, literature. And I think that I'm very inspired by South Africans, more specifically black South Africans.
So the fight of Nelson Mandela did work?
I think the fight of Nelson Mandela worked to a point, but I don't think it's a rainbow nation like that. I think that's just like not true. There's still a lot of work to do. His generation did something, but now it's up to our generations also to do the rest, you know? It's up to
still
South Africans
right to
now.
Get.
Oh yeah, there's still a lot. I mean, the fight was never ended, but it did reach, you know?
What happened recently with the, taxes, Donald Trump's taxes? There's two small countries in the middle of South Africa.
Malawi and Zambia. Yeah.
Lesotho.
Oh, South Africa, yeah.
So Lesotho and Swaziland.
In Swaziland, yeah.
And they received very high taxes.
Yeah, right.
65%.
Right. I mean, to me, that's just racism.
They're already very poor countries. What do you think?
I mean, I think I think there is a clear rise of fascism and racism,
populism,
and far right,
populism.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're just starting to bear with the tragedy of it. I think it's even more important now for, I think the liberals need to wake up, you know. I think they need to stop with the soothing and the whatever, the tiptoeing and the politeness. And they need to
Stronger.
They need to become radical and believe in radical change instead of all these little dances, you know. And I think spaces also like the Locarno Film Festival and other spaces that have so much privilege and power have to be the one like rising up. Like it comes, privilege is great, but it comes, I believe, with responsibility. And I think it's time that responsibility is taken. Us in the margins, the grassroots, we do a lot. We do a lot with not much. We made this film with not much. Nobody wanted to invest. Nobody believed in it except the community that we have and that, you know, now we're here. But I think this should have happened from the get-go. You know, I think it's very urgent that stories that have been overlooked or invested in, that filmmakers, writers, artists, entrepreneurs who come from underrepresented, less known parts of the world are centered. And it's okay, you're still relevant as a European or an American and Western, don't worry about it. But can you please give space, not please, can you move the fuck away a bit, more than a bit, so we can come center and teach you a thing or two about resistance and radical honesty and intellectual courage. It shouldn't take intellectual courage to say Free Palestine, you know, it shouldn't.
You're right, Priscilla. But the point, the Western countries won't leave Africa because Africa is rich.
Yeah, but we're going to have to kick them out.
Yeah. Another fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if the other countries got independence, they still want to.
Oh, I mean, there's not an independence, it's just on paper.
Economically not.
No, even culturally, it's even in film. We rely so much on Europe and I don't know what's telling us how to tell stories. Like, we don't need you to tell us how to tell our stories. We know how to tell our stories, it's ours. I don't go and see Spanish people to tell them how to tell this. I don't create labs in Congo for Spanish people to come and for me to tell them how to tell their own stories. Let's collaborate at the same level. Let's see each other for who we are. Let's partner on an equal footing as the panel. We had a great panel at the Open Doors led by wonderful filmmakers also from the continent. And yeah, I mean, it's time, like, it's time.
Priscilla, you live in Cape Town. Do you go from time to time to Iran for your collective you created? Or is it difficult nowadays?
It's difficult nowadays.
No, impossible.
Yeah, no, nothing is impossible, but it's difficult nowadays. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we can do a lot nowadays without physically having to be there. So
that's
alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah for that, you know, because it's going to be much more difficult to stop people than it was like 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So leveraging all of that to continue bringing conversations and creating and, you know, shifting narratives and, yeah.
And I know you have to go to Belvedere. I don't want to make you late. But either way, we can read your work of doctorate, graduation, once finished published.
Definitely. I mean, I will send it once I mean, I just started. Actually, I have to submit a proposal in a couple of weeks and I better get at it. My supervisor shouldn't listen to this when we read this.
The Madonna de Sasso will help you.
Okay, inshallah.
I'll bring you luck.
So but definitely, I mean, the goal is to, you know, the reason I'm even going into this PhD is not by choice, it's, I have to. I'm resisting erasure and that's just one of the ways of resisting racial erasure.
As well, tribute to the female ancestor,
yes, totally.
Who inspired you.
Totally. I mean, they're the ones pushing me. You know, there is a belief in the south of Iran that comes from Eastern Africa. It's called Zor. And it's that the winds, our ancestors travel through winds and the winds can then come in your body and
inspire you,
yeah,
support
you. Inspire you and just make you do what you need to be doing. So I believe myself, amongst many others, I've been definitely inhabited by a lot of winds and I'm just following on the steps of what my ancestors want me to, and nobody can stop that but themselves.
That was the Zor. My daughter was to interview you. That was very interesting. Marcy.
Thank you so much.
Marcy, Priscilla.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Firuz.
I wish you a great festival.
Thank you.
And I hope you will have lots of contacts. to keep on working on what you want to show us. Thank you, Priscilla.